Hello and welcome back to Den Den Murphy, brought to you directly to your Den Den Mushy. Hello, Suki. Welcome back.
Hello. It's been a while.
Yeah, we had a little break, so we're making up for lost time as we're going to talk about chapter 1032 and 1033. Quite a bit of Zoro this time around.
Yes, all the people that had to, you know, suffer through a whole arc of Sanji are getting some Zoro love now. So
you think that it would be strange if the thing that takes place in Wano, the samurai country, would never even focus on Zoro at least once.
Well, we're seeing Zoro like actually on his bum. I don't want to say on his back foot because he's still like, it still feels like the issue is not that the guy is stronger than him. It very much feels like Zoro's just fighting this handicap against his own swords and trying to figure out how to hurt the guy. That's it.
Yeah, it's an interesting, because like chapter 1032 has a lot of like continuation from the last. We see Yamato running around and getting through. We have the giant flame guy, monster, whatever, going towards, and we have that kind of deadline. In the middle of it, we go back to Zoro facing off against King, and he's having a tough time. I think this is the first time since before the time skip that Zoro's actually having a tough time in a fight.
Yeah, but again, it's not like he's having a tough time because the guy's just stronger than him. I get the feeling it's more of just he doesn't know how to hurt him.
Yeah, he literally gets a sword to the chest and suddenly something explodes.
Yeah, like it does not feel like Zoro's like it's not like a Luffy kind of fight where it's like, oh, the, you know, fighting on uphill. We still haven't seen Zoro have to fight uphill.
Yeah.
Since I think Alabasta.
True. That's probably the first time where he's like pushed that, and probably the archipelago, because he was already like beat up as much as possible. Yeah,
but he was handicapped.
Yeah.
So Thriller Bark, I guess that would be him fighting uphill, but like I can't think of any other time after that.
True.
Something's handicapped him. He's held back in some way or something stopping. Like we haven't seen Zoro on the back foot like we do, like say Luffy or Sanji.
Yeah, and Pika was mostly just annoyance to find where the original was. That was more of a search party thing.
Which, I'm surprised that Oda didn't toy with that more, considering Zoro's sense of direction.
That would have been funny. He's just, it's not just that he can't find him. He keeps getting lost while trying to find him. I will say, though, I love that King, up to this point, was like this super menacing character. The whole concept of him being the final Lunarian, we're still not figuring out why or how. And then in the middle of the fight, he pulls his face back, makes the best face ever since Enel, and then has a freaking like laser beam comparison strike. It's like, what is happening? And why is Oda destroying the concept of dinosaurs so perfectly?
Oh, no, that's how dinosaurs fought. Oda, we all know that Oda is very big on history, okay? I'm sure he's put plenty of research into this.
I love the, I don't know if you saw it from Grand Line Review, where he put up a picture of like pterodactyls and he put the face on it where he's just like this, he just put that face on there of them. It's like the natural look of pterodactyls.
The faces that Oda comes up with are they stick with you.
They really do. It's just, especially because we already had like great reactions to the freaking snake form from Queen, and then just this face alone is like a build up to the most dangerous thing ever. But it's that face. And it comes back in chapter 1033. It's like, not, it's like a one-time thing. It's like, ah, here's not round two. I just love that it continues this trend that for some reason Zoro always ends up fighting people with these fruits that just don't know how, that make up like the weirdest things, because it reminds me of his fight with the noodle machine and everything. It's just
the
random.
The Kaku fight is still like probably one of my funniest fights.
Yeah. It's just him getting pissed off. It's like, be serious about this. What happened? I put in my neck and then my legs got longer. Noodle like machine.
Noodle machine.
I love that fight so much. I mean, there's a reason everyone talks about Enies Lobby when it comes to this series, but that was just
That's the beauty of One Piece, is it just takes you on like this roller coaster of emotions all into like the same chapter.
Yeah. It
where you're really like does. you're laughing in tears, and then you're actually crying in tears, and then you're like actually angry at things.
What's happening? I do find interesting is that he's having such a hard time, but earlier we saw him get that crack in King's mask. So it's like an interesting thing. It was like that was teasing the potential that he can do it and that he may have just started doubting himself to make it harder. And we can't forget he's on medicine that's keeping him alive only for a certain amount of time. He's going to crash.
Where he'll have another nothing happened moment. Because now he'll take like all his pain or something like that, right?
I feel like, well, there are a lot of parallels between the new world and what came before. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get something similar.
I mean, it won't be on, like, obviously it won't be on the same scale, but it'll be like, oh, look how badass Zoro is.
he's just standing there going, I'm good. But do you think he's going to end up fighting Sanji or something? Do you think they're going to build that up?
Like I said, last time we talked, I think, is I would love to see that.
I don't think we've
ever gotten to see, like, all out Zoro versus Sanji.
I'm really curious about how it's going to come together. Like how, if he's going to get to a point. I didn't notice this the first time around, but in chapter, I think it was 1031, you see that his eyebrow flipped.
Yes.
And that's such a cool detail that I didn't notice until now going through the chapters preparing for the podcast. I was like, holy shit, his eyebrow corrected itself to the one he should have had. And I'm really curious about how they're going to build that up. Though I have to say, using Sanji to once again hint at the Lunarians was a little bit of a weird thing because I wanted to see the momentum of that fight carry on. For some reason, Queen is like this stupid, didn't you know? I won't tell you. He just keeps doing it.
Oh, God. I love these characters.
Just it's a great
so much. I will never look at dinosaur, like I will not be able to go into Jurassic Park or Jurassic World or whatever the next one is and like see the dinos the same. Now I'm like, hey, it's not firing lasers.
I now want Jurassic Park Oda edition. Pterodactyls have escaped. How? They pulled back their faces. Oh, God.
Imagine, like, the opening of Jurassic Park when they see the Brontosaurus or Brachiosaurus or whatever saurus it was. And all of a sudden, it just cranes its neck and just fires it out.
It's okay. We have enough distance between us and it. Pyong!
Ah! Oh, my God.
Dinosaurs and oh my god, it's weird how it's just like up till now most of the designs were like kind of normal. I think then we got the awakening designs where it got a little crazy, and they have, but before that the only one who was like really out there with the Zoan fruit was Kaku, and now it's just like who cares, this is the smile fruit where not even any of the fake ones make sense, like with like dude whose body's attached to the giraffe neck.
Oh my god.
I do believe that he had all these drawings ready for years and was waiting to get the one.
I'm sure there's more. I'm sure we've yet to even like see the tip of it. We're gonna get to the Great War and we're just gonna see all kinds of weird crap. I'm like, of course, Oda. All right.
yep. I see where you're going with this. I do like that. Like in all this craziness that first of all, we got the Lion Song attack back, which was the one he defeated Mr. One with, which was a cool callback. And
yeah, just but like, it didn't do anything,
which is again, interesting. And then he had the whole, and like the poor guy in the middle of the fight, Enma's like, fuck you. I want energy. Nah.
I love that. How he's like, no, you behave.
Yeah. Behave. Stop it. Not now.
like I said, it's not Zoro on his back foot. He just always has like some kind of hurdle that is holding him back.
I mean, the guy fought like think about it. He went into the King fight having fought Kaido, blocking pretty much one of the most powerful attacks. He was toe to toe with freaking Big Mom as well. Like, let's be serious. I could see we're going to get to a point where Luffy and Zoro could just take down both emperors, no deal. And now he had to be healed.
Honestly, when Wano started, that's how I thought it was going to end. I was like, okay, well, obviously Kaido's too strong for Luffy to take on his own.
Yeah.
So we're either going to have like all the supernovas teamed up, or at least the monster trio take him down.
I still find it interesting that Sanji wasn't part of that fight, or he wasn't around. But it made sense because it was pretty much the captains and their main associates.
Yeah, that's never really been Sanji's role either.
Yeah.
Like, Sanji's always been that, like, more in the shadows type. Like, think about the Alabasta, he had the Mr. Prince thing.
Yeah, true.
Enies Lobby, in order to escape, he snuck off to go open the gates. Like, he's always been that sneaky tactician.
Like, that's the interesting thing about him, and it fits also well with his, you know, disappearance and stuff like that. I'm curious.
Apparently he lost now, so.
Well, like, that's the thing. He lost the powers to go invisible, but he still technically vanished out of nowhere. So it makes me wonder, like, does he still technically have an ability to go to vanish because he's so fast?
Power was within him all along.
It was in his heart all this time.
But no, I mean, maybe, because I mean, he goes fast enough to walk on air because this is One Piece and it's weird.
True. Like, we shouldn't
hooking
judge.
Your heel, what was it, like six times or something, and you can skywalk. So.
I'm so powerful, I kick the sky to fly.
Driving any kind of power scalers just up the wall because
every time something happens, anyone tries to do power scaling in the series, they're just throwing the board out the freaking window. They're like, all right, we got a fair balance. They can keep up. What do you mean Kid suddenly has an awakening and Law to screw this. What I do like about, especially chapter 1033, was that I thought, like, it creates the illusion that it's all about Enma, but in reality it's about him and all three of his blades, and we actually see Zoro connect the dots, which is kind of hilarious because he normally doesn't really care much about it. But then we get to that point about Shimotsuki Kozuburo, and it's such a nice thing. And I didn't think, like, isn't this our first Zoro flashback since the East Blue?
No, he had a flashback in Alabasta.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, yeah, the flashback about how he learned to hear the voices.
Yes.
But it's still like...
Which we still don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, I read a lot of people saying that it was like the first hint at haki, technically. But, you know...
I thought there was an SBS where Oda like specifically stated that it was not, or it was like something else.
It is Zoro's ultimate power, Conqueror's Haki. He had it before Luffy.
I mean, there are Zoro fans who would love that, but
I would love for them to revisit that and connect it to how his use of Arnim and Haki and everything, because it feels like that aspect of being able to cut anything and cutting fire has not been like fully fledged yet. I mean, there's still people that think once he opens his left eye, he'll have like some random power up or something.
My brother's one of those. So yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, he's like, did Zoro open his eye yet? Like, there's nothing behind the eye.
He has a scar. I would like to know the story of how he lost his eye, because that's such an interesting detail to ignore.
What is not? He's not going to Kishimoto it, okay? It's not suddenly Zoro has the Sharingan, all right? It's not.
he pulls it out. Eye technique. What? I could see him.
I got lost in another franchise on the way here, and I grabbed this eye along the way.
I am a friend of the Uchiha. Just says it wrong too. Doesn't care. Stole it on his way.
I kind of. I take it back. No, Oda. I want this now.
He is a cross-dimension guy. He's if you technically think about it, Makenyu is also in Saint Seiya, so there's the next connection, the Saint Seiya live action film.
I would absolutely like just love if artists started like after One Piece is over, if like artists for other mangas started just putting Zoro in the background of things, like he's lost looking for the crew or something.
He's just he got lost at the end of One Piece and he's still looking for a way back and he's just everywhere now. My Hero Academia is still going. Oh, who's that new swordsman there? Which swordsman? He just see him scatter away in the background.
That would be such a great little shout out. It'd be awesome.
I would love that. I
do... Where's Waldo?
Where's Zoro? We're looking for him everywhere. Could he be here? Could he be there?
Oh, Netflix, get on it. For the advertising for the live actions, just every trailer have Makenyu just walk through.
That would be hilarious. Like every Netflix show, he's just Stranger Things and Makenyu Azoro's running through. Luffy! Or he just pretends that everyone else is lost and he's perfectly on his way.
See, that's more Zoro, though. Yeah, like, Zoro would not... I've never seen Zoro go, I'm lost. No, oh, they must have gotten lost again.
He's going fishing. That is his goal. Yeah. And
Even when they ride an elephant, and they're all on the same damn elephant.
He got lost. I love that every time. How the hell did he get lost? We were sitting on here. Everyone else must have gotten off at the wrong spot.
That was one of my favorite things is when he's with Law and Law's figured him out by now. So every time Zoro wanders off, Law just goes, room, shambles, brings Zoro back.
Just every time Law becomes an honorary Straw Hat just to keep Zoro in line.
It was just so funny to see that. I was like, oh God.
All right, where's Zoro? Room, shambles. Hey, where you guys come from? I love, though, that chapter 1033 is another one of those Oda long plays where something random in the SBS became true.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And it's like Shimotsuki's design is so hilarious, but it's the sword. I think it was the Kitetsu. It looks just like him. It's just... No, the Ichimonji. Sorry, that's the sword he created. And it's just his face younger. And now we just see the same design with that massive unibrow.
I think we figured out by now that the answers that Oda got, that we were all like, haha, that's very funny, Oda. I'm going to go back through the old SBSs and make sure. Because, like, just everything that we thought was a joke so far, he's brought into it.
I'll be scared if Yamato's side boob joke character suddenly becomes real.
It's Oda.
I'm still amazed that was a thing, though, that he drew a side boob as a character. Oda.
He's done that. I think my favorite is like when he was asked how he draws the females, and then he just put the X in the two circles. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
He does not care. I respect it.
Well, he was straight honest, because I think someone asked him, like, why are all your females so, like, you know, big boob? And he goes, I like boobs.
Like, it's his series. He likes it. He sticks to it.
I like boobs. Sorry.
Oh, man. It's so funny. And it's just, like, the funny thing is, like, he has all this, like, you see that comedy of that unconventional going in. Like, the one scene where you see Shimotsuki just leaning over, it's like, is the dojo boring to you? And it's just that design of him like leaning there, and then all the drama. It's interesting. And like, this flashback is the explanation why he had two swords. Like, why did we need
I never even thought about the two swords. Like, I didn't even it didn't register as like an important thing. I was just like, okay, he brought swords.
Yeah. Oh, there's an origin to this. What I do like is that there's one sequence when he does the big speech, like a sword's like a kitchen knife, but for murder. The sword looks a lot like the prison guy, Ryu. No, I can't remember his name now. From Blackbeard Pirates.
Shiryu of the Shiryu.
It's the hilt is very similar with the square design.
Ooh, so, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, so I see a few people having a theory that maybe that's a connection, that's one of his blades setting up another, like that's the big fight on the Blackbeard Pirates for him.
That's another thing I loved is that we got rid of the whole curse thing now too.
Yeah, that was interesting. So the whole curse thing, like, could you imagine he wanted to be clever with the curse and didn't know how to explain it? So he just kept it until now. It's like, oh, wait, they have a personality. That's what it is.
Like, I mean, thinking about it does make sense. Like, yeah. Of course, people not familiar would totally think it's cursed. Like, oh, this led to slaughter and things like that. So,
but instead of, you know, proving themselves worthy, it's like blaming the sword, which humans tend to do.
Yeah. So, like, I love the way he dealt with that. I was like, oh. That makes sense.
What I think is interesting, what adds a new layer to it, is that it also highlights how Zoro handles his blades and stuff when he, when one was destroyed and he buried it.
Yes.
And that was such a nice moment that adds to that soul aspect. So like it calls back to when Zoro got mad at King for not really fighting honorably, though he wields a sword that is made to break swords. And I don't think he's going to break any sword now. Like there was some kind of theory because of King's sword having like that hinge where it breaks or it's made to break one, that a lot of people said, okay, one of the swords is going to break. I don't think it's going to happen.
If anything, I could see a Kitetsu now, but that would be about it.
Yeah. I mean, the Ichimonji is never going to break.
Wado's not breaking, and he's not breaking Enma. And now that the curse thing has been explained, I could definitely see that one.
What I could, like, the thing is to me is what I'm interested about is that the running thing is that the Ichimonji is always the one he has in his mouth. That's always the Wado, I think. And if he uses, so if the curse blade, the one he got all the way back, is the one that breaks, he technically could wield both of Odin's swords. But I don't see it happening because of Mononosuke.
I actually, now the more that I think about it, and now that we've explained the curse, and Oda's not one to just explain these things and have no meaning at all. Mm. Now that we've explained the curse, the curse is over now. So yeah. No longer is it like, oh, well, Zoro has to deal with this curse blade. Now we know what that means.
He's come to accept it. And
so I feel like maybe Kitetsu will break.
Now he has, because we have the big Conqueror's Haki scene and we see him, like, I like that it wasn't just Enma, but it was all three swords getting that like black lightning effect.
Yes.
But it's like, I think Kitetsu's going to break, especially because even though besides Shimotsuki, they put a lot of highlight on the Loguetown guy whose name I keep forgetting because he hasn't been around in a while, but the salesman, and like he has like the second most significance. And the thing is that it does feel like the focus is that he wields all three Shimotsuki made swords, because the Kitetsu is the only one not made by him. That was made by the Tengu guy.
Oh, yeah, like after seeing that, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Now we've gotten the backstory of Kitetsu in Oda fashion. So, yeah, I feel like at the end of Wano, he's probably going to bury Kitetsu.
I fear so. And the question is he going to get the other blade will he get Ryuma's blade back, which he gave to them, which I don't think because it's a national treasure. Or will he get the other blade by Odin?
What if there's another blade? What if there's like some hidden blade, like the final blade that he created before he left or something?
the fox has it. Because they're still setting something up with the fox. I'm 100% sure.
It's Oda. I'm sure like everything is a setup at this point. I don't trust Oda anymore. Just small things. And I was like, oh, that means nothing. And then like later on, he's like, oh yeah, this thing that you thought nothing of, it's this. And I'm like, holy crap.
That is true. Though I wonder, like, there's one thing that sounds dumb. We finally got a flashback to Zoro. And I still don't understand why he's the only one of that school to wield three blades. And I know they were hinting that it was like he was taught to it, but like no one there wielded three blades. He was the only one who had two.
Well, he was shown with like nine.
Well, yeah.
He had like three in his mouth and he was holding like you know, he's like, ah, more blades, more power.
Yeah. True, but like he gives it a name and it acts like there's something that it was taught to use it.
I believe there that was actually addressed. I'd have to go back and look, but I believe he does mention that, like where he feels more comfortable with three for some reason.
It's interesting. I wonder if there is still some kind of setup, because we spend a lot of time now with the origin of the blades, but we haven't quite solved them. Well, technically we as readers did, but Zoro's own heritage and connection, because I think Shimotsuki is also the name of his potential father, right? Or was that a different name?
I'd have to go back.
it's Shimotsuki Ushimaru. That was it. It was a Shimotsuki line.
There's been so much.
There's been a lot. Yeah, it's Shimotsuki Ushimaru would be the one, the daimyo of Ringo. That would have been his father, technically. And he was the one who was like with the fox.
Yes.
So I'm really interested because that's still something they set up, but they also haven't, like, that's the thing. It's like, so this Shimotsuki was Kuina's grandfather. So technically they're related. If you think about it.
So Kuina's his sister?
No. They're probably like, excuse me, cousins or something. But I don't, like, that's the thing. It's like they set it up as if there's a connection, but there's no real payoff yet or explanation to it. And there's no, like, there was never a hint at him having any connection outside of being at that school. Because even Shimotsuki Kozaburo doesn't make any connection with him and his own family. It was only that random line chapters ago about his potential father. It's so weird. It's like he sets things up, doesn't answer them, sets other things up, answers those. And still keeps you going, like, so what? Wait, how does that? What?
I know. Every time we get answers, we just get more questions.
But wouldn't that be weird for Zoro to find out? It's like him and Kuina have the same, like, lineage. They're just, like, distant cousins of each other or something. It's like, that would be a weird revelation.
I mean, at the same time, I feel like I don't think we need Zoro backstory. Like, I don't feel we need his heritage.
If we get it, there's a setup for something. I mean, there's still the Green Bull storyline theories about that being his father and whatnot, which is kind of weird. The only connection is the Green Bulls and the anime on his coat, and you know, the fact that Zoro has green hair. It's just weird because, like, we got such a huge backstory thing for Sanji, and a lot of people expected that Wano would be the whole backstory on Zoro. And I was just like, yeah. Oh, he got one, so he has to get one. And they kind of, like, Oda technically gave Sanji even more backstory than Zoro in this.
That had to piss the haters off.
Which is so funny. It's like, you think Sanji's done, and Oda's like, what do you mean done? Who's ever done?
Who the hell told you that?
I've been trying to be done for years. I do think they're going to do something with his father, or at least that something with the fox is being set up here. The only question is, the more I see it, the more I think Kitetsu is going to break. But to kind of complete that three lineage, I don't know. Maybe it's like something building up that three generations of Shimotsuki in his three sword style. Because Ryuma with his sword and Ryuma was also technically a Shimotsuki. So it's, who knows at this point? Seriously.
All we know is Zoro's gotten more badass.
Exactly. He has conquered Baki. What a great revelation this was. Even though the anime technically did it earlier.
Say, was it a revelation?
The funny thing is, we got the first hint at it. What, in Fishman Island, when he was like, oh, this is the least he should be able to do? And well,
I mean, I don't think he had it, like, awakened at that point, but...
No, but he knew about it. Like, that's... I'm pretty sure Mihawk has it, right? Or is Mihawk so lazy he doesn't give two shits about it?
I don't know. Like, we don't know much about Mihawk.
We don't even know where he's going to show up again, if he show, you know, where's... I mean, there's still a theory that he's going to be. Yeah, I mean, that's still, that was set up technically. But like, is he going to work alongside Shanks? Like, that's such a weird visual.
Because like I said, because then in the Davy back fight, we'll have Zoro versus Mihawk.
Oh, man. So technically Mihawk, like the thing is, Zoro always took down the right-hand man of the captain. And Mihawk being the right-hand man of Shanks is such a weird visual.
Well, I know he won't be the right-hand man, but he'll be the swordsman.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I'm really, really excited to see where it's going. And I just finally the confirmation that he has it. If Oda in the next chapter pulls some crap that we're suddenly back to Yamato and just not continue where we left off.
I mean,
he would do it. That's
I, yeah, I know. That's why I stopped myself. I was like, I don't think. He would.
We'd just go right back where we were. But I have to say,
we'd go back where we were. We'll go back to Luffy finally.
That's the next thing. We haven't spent any time with Luffy in what, months? Outside of the you want to fight him alone moment. It's like, okay.
Oh, they'll be like, what? You're hyped about Zoro? Okay, let's go check on Momonosuke.
The poor guy. I do like that in the last chapter he's still out there going like, I'm just gonna make a lot of mini clouds, that's gonna work. The poor guy,
he's trying,
he's really trying. And we still don't know what he looks like as an adult. Like, that was also that hint there. Oh, you look just like, I mean, we know he's gonna have to look like Odin, but we still don't know what he looks like. It's been forever.
I mean, it hasn't been that long, right? It's only been a few chapters.
It's been probably about 10, 15 chapters or something.
It might have been that long.
It feels like it's been that long because so much has happened. Like, it's insane. You think that the final act, which or at least the fight, would focus mainly on the fight. But we got so much backstory and history and connections. Like, I didn't even realize that the weird flame monster looks exactly like what the artist guy whose name I can't remember right now. I don't know why. I knew it every time. That it looked like the form we saw him when he was like creeping up to Orochi in like that flashback.
I'm here.
No. but it's just like there's so many like small bits here. That you're like, we finally got the explanation why Mama is even bigger now than she already was.
Yes, why she's called Big Mom.
Why she's called Big Mom. What's with this? What's with the series and gigantification as a running theme in the new world? Isn't that interesting?
Bigger is better, I guess.
Bigger is better. The like, what's with the numbers guy, Fuga? Where Yamato goes, it's nice to see you again, but I'm in a hurry. That was an interesting random thing.
Oh yeah, that happened too.
That was in 1032. And it's just like, because there's already the theory that they're the samurais forcefully transformed. But like, Yamato's like, hey, nice to see you again. It's like, everyone's gonna go crazy about it. It's like, wait, that means the theory is like, it could just mean she grew up with the numbers. You know, she lived in this island.
You know, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
It's just, I love the randomness. It's like, that's where they fall to. And CP0 is like, ah, we finally got them. And then, like, turn around. Burn!
Yeah, CP0 is like, there's so much in Wano. Oh, my God.
It's insane.
I can't think of an arc that has had so much crammed into it. Like, even Dressrosa, yeah, I don't feel crammed this much into it.
The irony is that Dressrosa had way more new characters introduced in a short time span. Here we have so many established characters having a turn, having a role of some kind. And that's what makes this so interesting to me. We do have new characters, but like CP0, even these two guys, though they had no speaking roles, we still knew who they were. And now we're getting full-fledged arcs for them and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to achieve. Apu literally has an arc, and we've known him since the Archipelago. So it's so interesting. Also, how the hell does he keep surviving everything?
Haki.
That doesn't count. Dude took a bullet finger to the neck. He has to be dead now. We saw blood.
Didn't he say Haki? I thought he said Haki.
he says a lot of things.
I thought he said Haki. Let me look
there. X-Drake finally gets personality as well. It's so interesting. There's some kind of interesting theory going around with, because ZP0 know who he is, that he somehow his job is anti-government or something, which is an interesting theory.
I mean, does it mean like that we know who you are? We know that you're, we know your history, or like, yeah, we know about S.W.O.R.D.?
They know about S.W.O.R.D. It was like that, because Kobe is a good guy, technically speaking, that it might be like this little anti-CP0, anti-rich people calling themselves dragons.
Yes, Apu used armament Haki.
Oh, it was armament. Oh, man.
Yeah, because Drake goes, oh, you're still alive. And he goes, yeah, I know how to use a little thing called armament Haki.
I forgot about that, and it still makes me sad.
Apu didn't die, damn it.
Zora, confirmed, armament Haki is more tougher than iron.
Let's just say, at this point, like, if you don't have Haki, then you're pretty much useless in the new world.
That's why we had a time skip.
But, I mean, no one bothered to show any of that in the Great War. But, you know, it's all good.
Oh, yeah, actually, shit. Good point. No one used it there, or they. It's like someone's gonna say, "Oh, it was used off screen." What?
I mean, I feel some people would have tried to use it. It seems very useful.
Yeah. And though, like, the worst part is he already teased its existence. So why didn't they use it at all? Or it's just like Whitebeard. He's like such a hardcore pirate. He's like, I don't need that shit. Not on my ship. I would love if, like, Marco gets, like, a line. It's like, why do you guys never use Haki? Oh, we're not allowed to. Whitebeard's code. Use Haki.
Whitebeard's code. No Haki. Haki's for wimps.
I could see it, though. To be fair, I could totally see it.
No Haki on my ship. I'll show Shanks.
Technically, you could make a case that the only use of Haki at the Great War was Mihawk because of his black sword.
True.
He's like the only one.
And Luffy, but
true, Luffy did as well.
Whitebeard tried to use Haki.
When was that? I can't remember.
When he was trying to stop the execution, and then he couldn't because he started hurting, and then Luffy did it instead.
Oh yeah, true, very true. It just sometimes it feels like at that time, Haki in its current form wasn't fully formed outside of Conquerors and Foresight. That was like the only ones that felt like they actually had teases, and then Armament Haki and all that came in addition.
Well, for the longest time, I thought like the showing the Armament Haki, showing the, you know, them going black, I thought that was like a visual thing. I thought that was kind of like a key in Dragon Ball where you're not supposed to see it, but
yeah,
they made it where you could see it just so you could see it.
I think that's confirmed that we're the only ones who could see it.
Yeah, so I thought that was the same thing. But then they've had several stories where they've actually addressed and labeled them. Oh, you're black, Vega or Virgo.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so it's not just like a visual thing for the audience only. This is actually, my arm is now black.
It's so confusing. It's just like something where you know that if Oda, like, it's not Oda's fault. It's very typical to happen, but maybe he's teasing that there's like a certain level where it becomes visual to the naked eye or something. Like, that's an evolution step.
I mean, that would make sense, I guess.
Because it could be like the Black Blade is that you turn, like when you're using haki in a sword, it's only black to, you know, to us as readers, but it becomes, because that's the thing what confused me with Enma. It's like, oh, not even Odin could make it a Black Blade. And I was like, wait, doesn't anytime you use haki make it a Black Blade? So how does that exactly work?
Now we know that it drains all the haki, but
yeah, vampire blade it is. But like the thing is, like, we never saw, thinking back, Odin never used haki either. We never see him use it.
No, and Rayleigh never went the, like, you never saw Rayleigh have black arms or anything, like when he was training Luffy.
He
didn't like, you could put it. You could put an invisible barrier around you called haki.
Yeah, and he didn't even have it when he blocked the Admiral, his light attack.
Yeah.
We didn't see it then either. So either it's like also a visual thing for like our pirates, our Straw Hats have evolved so far that they also, that like we alongside them know when it's being used or seen. Like that's how I kind of have the feeling. And before they couldn't see it because it just wasn't a thing for them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I assume. But then again, you have like these nicknames of, oh yeah, he got black, you know, he's all black. And like they address the coloring, like it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's not just a visual cue for the audience. So I'm like very confused, unless there's another form of haki that we have not been introduced to.
Because what the only two we saw with full black armor was Pika and what's his name on Punk Hazard, Virgo. So those were the only times we saw a full body in black haki armor. So the question for me is that something that's a visual representation because they master it so much that it's visually you can see it, because they're the only ones that do the full body thing. Everyone else always have it like on one certain body spot, body part.
That makes sense. Like the stronger it is, you can actually see it.
Yeah, that like it becomes a physical event. Like they said, it's like they have the heart, the big strongest defense. So maybe it's like that representation is that your defense is so full because it's fully embodied by black, which
well, I Pinkman is the strongest defense.
True. I already, man, if the whole color scheming is still something that confuses me.
Because then you have Luffy's like gear fourth where they, again, they visualize the hockeys and the swirls and things like that. So it's hockey in general just confuses me.
Yeah, I hope it's something that maybe gets explored a bit more or explained. Maybe they'll try to explain it through the black sword or something. Because I would love to see like him pulling the swords, his energy back, and then we see the his blades are staying black or something. Like that's probably my guess how it's going to end the fight.
But oh, his swords become black blades.
Yeah, that's my theory.
That would be cool. I'd like a black Wano.
It feels like that's what the setup was, you know? Because we got the big hint, not even he could turn into a Black Blade. So it feels like that's where we're going with it.
Not even he could, is that what he said?
Or at least something is like to make it a Black Blade. I do love the running thing about Zoro being called a demon, and he's wearing he's holding the blade named after the ruler of hell is such a nice touch though.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That fits Zoro to a T.
It really does. We haven't seen in Wano yet his nine swords. No, we have. That was in the fight with Kaido, I think, where he had the nine sword style.
Yes, with haki.
Yeah, so I'm really curious if we're going to see that return, or if
I'd
he
love
like
to hear that explained still.
Yeah, that, because everyone like that's the next thing they see that he has three heads,
and there's a physical presence.
Yeah, so like, how does that work?
But he doesn't actually have three
heads. Oh, no. Stop screwing with us. I'm really curious because I think that Zorro, there's a lot about Zorro's abilities and how they work. Feels like something he sets up a lot, doesn't really explain. But now with the swords, that maybe he's going in that direction. I don't know. I'm really curious because you don't know a lot about this three sword style outside of that he uses three swords, but switches between what he needs depending on the attack. So I don't know. And also, I really feel bad for Makenyu for having to hold a sword in his mouth and close an eye for the entire time if they ever get to New World, knock on wood.
Well, say, let's get past East Blue first, please.
I'm just saying it would be, I feel bad for him. Like, if this really starts off, like, that's a lot of stuff to carry.
I feel bad for the whole cast. I don't think they know what they signed on for.
I think the only one who does is...
I'm sorry, we're going to be doing this for how long?
Excuse me, what? Wait, what?
Like the bigger arcs. Does Dressrosa get its own season?
Ooh. Oh, man, it's crazy. Just crazy. I'm curious, though, like with Yamato, how that's... We also have the thing of Aizo being carried by Marco, so I'm curious where they're going, because I feel like Marco is probably the solution to beat the fire flame guy. At least that's the setup there.
I don't feel like the Straw Hats are gonna have their like anything taken away from them.
No, I don't think so. That's the thing, is like, you never know how it's going to develop, but they never take away from the Straw Hats. It's just added in. I really want to see a bit more from Frankie. I'd love to see him again and have a role. I'm just curious how, like, he's the guy who gets away the most unscathed because it just always destroys General Frankie first. So I'm like, what's going to happen? I still want to see... Usopp didn't really have a fight this time around. He's kind of more of a helper at the moment. And he didn't...
Yeah, but see, he's been kind of in the background.
Yeah, like Chopper got a really big moment, finally something connected to being a doctor as well. So either like Usopp is taking the backseat here because of Elbaf next time. That's kind of my theory, that like his big time and big upgrade is going to come then. I don't know. It's interesting because Nami got an upgrade this time around.
Yes, Nami got an upgrade. Usopp got his upgrade.
His lie.
Usopp had his big moment in Dressrosa.
Yeah, he did, but like it feels like everyone got something this time around outside of him. Because we got Brooke, Usopp, and Frankie are kind of the most... they didn't get the most upgrades out of this event because we had Robin's big gigantification demon version. We had Nami's upgraded weather thing with Zeus in it, or now Cotton. Sanji pretty much went through a complete transformation. Zoro now with getting Conqueror's Haki, or finally utilizing Conqueror's Haki. But Brook pretty much is the same as he was. He got his big moments in Whole Cake Island, which is still badass.
That was his arc.
He was... Sanji had that arc. But like, that's the thing. Sanji still got a lot in this. So like, why is he getting... like, he had a full arc all about him and now he's still getting a lot of upgrades. And it feels like that some of them aren't really getting much. Plus like the whole, you know, Yamato, is she going to join or not? I see a lot of people against, a lot of people for. She's getting a lot of focus as well. But like, where are we going? And then at the same time, is like, we have the big revelation at the end that Komuro Saki is back, or she's on the island. With
Hiyori's back.
So that was an interesting twist, which first confirms that she's probably the one that was helping the samurai. But also,
well, like, actually, did you notice that when like Zoro could hear her music?
Yeah, that was the thing. That's what activated Enma.
And then Enma started acting all funky with her return.
Because it technically was her sword. Like, she was supposed to get that sword originally. Which is even more interesting.
Because Mononosuke... well, I mean, she wants Zoro.
I mean, that's actually, I'm curious how that's going to go. I still want pudding back. I miss pudding. Could you imagine like the rivalry between them gets worse because they both have then girlfriends, and then Luffy's like, ah, they can join. Because he was open for pudding to join after the wedding. So
but yeah, like even before the, like before he found out about all the thing, he was like, oh, Sanji's getting married. Oh, that's great. That was room up for her on the ship. Like he's still
So I don't know why people are like, ah, Yamato's not going to join. Gee, pudding would have joined if he said yes. He invited a tree.
That is why it irritates me whenever anybody, whenever you're talking about, you know, oh, they need a role on the ship. I'm like, Luffy will literally make up a role. He's invited a tree at Thriller Bark. Like, he invited like four different things at Thriller Bark. Not once was he like, your role could be that he doesn't care.
He got his musician. He doesn't care since. He didn't even ever once think he might need a helmsman to keep that ship going. He was okay with randomly taking that ship anywhere he can.
Yeah. So it's that, not that's like he, it always bugs me whenever people are like, oh, well, they need a role. No, they don't.
I mean, let's be fair. We all love Jinbei. No one knew what Jinbei was going to be on the ship, even though he was already going to join them. He didn't have a role on the ship.
The minute he was asked by Luffy to join, I was like, okay, so Jinbei's part of the crew now.
Yeah, and no one thought, oh, what role did he have? Because it wasn't, you know, he was joining the crew. He's the most veteran out of them all. And it's just no one ever questioned that. I have an interesting question, though. We have been building up to the big war, and we have also gotten a lot of teases with some characters. Because now with Wano, we do have a lot of people saying the Straw Hat Alliance is going to show up to keep them safe so that they can continue on their adventure. I'm really curious how they're, because we're all focused on Wano, what's happening on Onigashima, but we still have that big freaking threat of CP0 and their ships heading to Wano. Really curious.
Yeah, they want to take Wano afterwards.
Yeah. So the thing is like, how are they? I am so confused. How long is this arc going to go? Like this second act, this third act is longer than any other one. It's longer than Dressrosa and it's just the attack.
I feel yeah, like I remember when it first started and everyone's like, oh, it's going to be short because it's just this three act structure. So it's not going to be that long. Here we are.
That never stopped us before. I feel like Oda, you know what the thing is? I think Oda does have a plan, but he has so many ideas and things that he wants to do that it just keeps dragging out. And even he doesn't know why. Like it just is like, oh, I'm just going to do this for a year. Oh, that's been 3 years now. Huh? How did that happen?
I was watching because I watched Daniel Green reviews and Murphy's reviews, which she hasn't been doing lately. Sad thing.
Yeah, well, she had to reschedule a lot of things.
Yes.
Looking forward to her.
Daniel Green's one, he was talking about Whole Cake. And he had this opening skit where he's like yelling at Oda. He's like, you need to stop with all the characters, okay? I know they're really cool, but you need to knock it off.
Yeah, that's like, not happening.
He shows up the design and goes, yeah, but look at this guy. He goes, okay, that looks really badass. All right, that's fun. Keep doing your thing.
It's just, he just, it's never going to end. It's because he can't. It's just like, he'll probably then, we have this curse thing, and then later we're going to have like, oh, but not only they, because he had like the sword personality and curse, everything makes sense because the ships have the same concept. And it's like, what else is going to have like a personality and whatnot at this rate? It always makes me wonder if Big Mom's ability is just giving a soul to an object, but they technically already had a personality she's just controlling. Because technically, like what would happen if she gave her sword has a personality? And it's not like it's the personality of the soul she's stealing. She combines souls. So technically, the object she brings to life have a soul, and she's just bringing that soul to life.
That's why. Keep in mind here. Keep in mind, items can eat devil fruits.
Also, fair point. Actually, yeah, that, like, how does the bazooka
that still hasn't been explained?
We had a dog bazooka that acted like a dog and not like a bazooka by laying on the floor like an object. So
we had elephant sword too.
Oh yeah, the elephant sword. Funkfried, that name.
So I could totally see like objects having souls or whatever, because they can eat devil fruits, because that's the thing.
Or
that
the
still
devil...
we have no answer for.
Or do the devil fruits have a soul in them?
Ooh, that's interesting.
I did see a video about a theory that like Sabo took on elements of Ace's personality after eating his fruit. And it's like that, like there's parallels between them because he takes that over, but he's still a different character. But he just, it's like that whole inherited will element is just passed on also through the devil fruits. Though it also started the whole Luffy has similarities probably to Joy Boy. It's like, oh boy, here we go.
Like Joy Boy and Roger.
Yeah, but Roger, it doesn't make sense for Roger to have eaten this fruit.
That, like I said, out of all the fan theories, that one probably irritates me the most.
Not even Shanks would notice that he has the fruit. If he has like all this time, it's like, oh, I just didn't want to tell you. Bullshit.
No, because like after everyone he's met who's actually dealt with Roger,
yeah,
someone would have mentioned something. Oda's not the type to keep that under wraps. Like there would have been some kind of mention of it.
Especially Rayleigh. He would have
like,
said
wow,
something.
Your powers are kind of like our captain. You know, like something.
Yeah. Oh man, there's a lot to unpack in these chapters. We also have the big One Piece film Red confirmation that was during the 1,000 episode logs event, which is interesting because it's definitely a Shanks focused film and everyone's thinking, is this going to be canon or is it not going to be canon? My guess is it's probably going to be as much as canon as the introduction of Shiki, who's real in the manga, but never showed up. That's my guess that they're going that direction. But like, that's the thing is like, we know Shanks is going, they're going to meet Shanks eventually, very likely the next arc. Where are we going with this? We still don't know why Shanks has a scar inflicted to him by Blackbeard, who didn't even have his freaking devil fruit at the time. Like there's
no way Blackbeard has a, like Conqueror's Haki or anything. So
that's an interesting thing. Does he have Conqueror's Haki? Because the implication seems to be there.
He's a coward though.
Yeah. Or is and, he? Like,
the whole thing about the Will of D is that like there's basically like no fear of death.
Yeah, but he is a coward.
Like he was afraid of his death.
But he has the D, Will, or is it fake? Is he faking it?
Like he is the only D that we know of who has not like smiled at their death.
Yeah, and he also is the one who's like who always raves in pain and he's a complete opposite of every concept we know.
Well, like I said, he's gonna have a hard time fighting Luffy because you know he takes double the damage from attacks. Meanwhile, Luffy is pure melee, so have fun with that one.
I won't lie, if he can take Blackbeard down with like a shot in the final fight, like we get all these cool things. And once they meet, it's just a one-shot KO. I'd he laugh my ass off.
Oh my god.
I mean, it would work as a parallel in the most interesting way ever. Though I did hear one theory that I'm kind of thinking has a lot of bit more merit. What I always forget is Big Mom was part of Rock's crew.
Yes.
So if Zebek Rock, D Rock, or what, I don't know if he's D, I think it's implied, almost died, wouldn't it be interesting if the one person who can control souls passed on his soul to a small child? Which so happened to be Marshall D. Teach.
Well, I mean, we know there's got to be some kind of connection because he named his ship after him.
And he's on his island.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit more interesting than I'm the long lost child of Rocks. Teach is my mother's name.
Yeah, I hope they don't do the whole he's his kid thing.
The thing is, my little fear is that not only is he somehow related to Rocks, but he also has the same fruit as Rocks. And then, like, that will bring more to the whole Gold Roger had the Gomu Gomu no Mi kind of thing. You know, that's like the parallels there.
He doesn't. Like, he doesn't. He has no fruit because he's Goldy Roger and he's a badass.
I agree with that. Like, that's the thing where the theories will go probably. But like, it's so funny because like everyone's saying, oh, the parallels always imply where we're going. But people are saying, well, Yamato doesn't fit the Straw Hats thing. But by a parallel of Odin, Odin was part of both the Whitebeard crew and the Gold Roger crew. So why wouldn't she join the Straw Hats? You know, that's it's a weird thing where it's like the parallels and the puns and the wordplay are all being used to analyze this. But there's never actually, there's like so many different ways of analyzing Oda's predictions that it's so confusing.
Don't even try to analyze. I just read the story and I'm like, oh, good. We got a new crew member because Yamato is joining the crew.
She got a flashback. I would say her flashback was on par with, while shorter, it was still on par with Frankie's.
She got a flashback and she also got the whole treatment of, oh, because you're this race, you've never been accepted and you've never fit in anywhere. And I was like, oh, huh. She needs family.
One that doesn't want to blow her up. But it's also,
I wonder who that could be.
But it's also the whole, like the whole thing is like people saying, well, she hasn't met all of the Straw Hats being some kind of requisite for him, for her to join. I was like, is that necessarily a reason? Because Franky mostly interacted with Usopp and Robin before kind of joining in the final fight. And just because she hasn't met them now, like, why wouldn't Oda now of all times play with the fact that not all the boxes are checked for a new crew member? Because technically Carrot would then already be one, but she was never asked. She just joined along and stuck with them. Like, why not? Fashion. Huh?
In true Luffy fashion. She's,
yeah.
I've decided to go with you guys, so that's what we're doing.
I wouldn't be surprised if she sneaks aboard, like a callback to Robin. Because that was like what I always saw her, because that was her first time joining them, is that she snuck aboard, which was like a nice callback to when Robin did it, because Robin never was invited either.
Yeah, and she never, we never got Robin's backstory much.
Yeah, Robin didn't even meet any of the Straw Hats throughout her arc. She only met with Luffy.
And no one trusted her at first, except for Luffy, who was like, oh, well, you're coming with me.
She's good. What? Well, Sanji. Sanji did trust her for reasons.
Sanji also held a gun to her head.
Oh, I forgot about that. True. He tried to make up for that.
Probably
fast.
The only like out of character moment I've been able to catch from all the Straw Hats. Like, why is Sanji holding a gun to a woman's head? That's always irked me.
That was an interesting play. That doesn't fit his character. Hmm. It was Mr. Two all along. That's always the running when someone's wrong. I was Mr. Two hiding, but he was in prison. Doesn't matter.
Is he though?
Is he? The new Kama King. Oh man. It's interesting. I'm really excited to see what the next chapter is. Oh god, we're so definitely not gonna be focused on Zoro again. It's probably gonna be something else in the beginning, and then at the end it's gonna be like, oh yeah, here's Zoro. It's like, Oda, don't you do this to me. But I do think this is my theory for the end of King and Queen's fight, is that Sanji and Zoro are gonna defeat them at the same time. Or at least in the same chapter.
Side by side, like they're both falling at the same time kind of thing.
I don't know if they'll be side by side, but the setup is that they started the fight together and I think they're going to end it together. I could see them though end up in the same situation, because King literally kicked Zoro outside and now really back inside. So it's possible.
True, Zoro could get lost mid fight and just appear by Sanji.
That's his superpower. He actually, Zoro isn't strong. He just makes everyone tired of chasing him because he gets lost. And then he just defeats them at the last minute. He's actually super weak. That's the super secret behind Zoro.
I do not condone these thoughts, everyone out there.
I am joking. Please do not take me seriously.
Don't send me the hate mail. Send it to him.
Wait a minute. I cannot help myself.
Ways to piss off every Zorro fan.
I am Zorro's a Zorro fan. Zorro's
not strong.
This, we're trying to, we learn from the internet, hate clicks is what gets us attention.
Yeah. What, we're canceled? Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Joe was involved, so that was the only course. In the Hall of Murphy DC podcast, I'm like the one guy who just keeps getting the names wrong too. So it's like, it looks like I have no idea about DC comics. I don't know what's wrong with me. It must be the podcasts.
I watch What Culture a lot, and yeah. Watching the comics one, and there's a guy who pronounces it Darkseid. Darkseid, and I'm like, oh, that's even irritating me, and I don't really get irritated by things like that.
Darkseid. I don't say the names wrong, I just don't know the names. At least I'm consistent. Oh man. But any final thoughts on the latest two chapters? Any predictions you have for the next one?
Next one opens up. We're going to go to Yamato, who's going to be like, yeah, I'm a Straw Hat. So just so you know.
Talk about pissing people off.
She's gonna forget her quest. She's just gonna run around the entire castle. I'm joined the Straw Hat.
And Luffy's like middle of Fido Kaido. Wait, what?
Actually, no, I 100% think that we are definitely not going to continue with Zoro.
Yeah, the more you think about it, the more you go, oh, this is not gonna continue as you think it would. This is One Piece. He likes to do that.
Yeah, no, every time he's like, are you hype? Are you hype? And you're excited and you're excited. He's like, okay, going over here.
Did you know there's more to this? No, there's so much more to this. Stop. Oh, there's so much happening. Stop. I think we're probably going to have a short detour, and then either it's going to be Zoro back to Yamato, so there's this nice like connective tissue, or it's going to be Yamato continuing her quest and then back to Zoro. Because I do think we're still going to keep the focus on Zoro as much as possible moving forward. At least until like we get a feeling for what his ability is. But at the same time, we thought the same thing with Luffy. So I'll eat my words probably.
I would be okay if we open with Luffy, because I do kind of want to check up on Luffy.
Yeah, he really has gotten sidelined so far. So that's still an interesting thing about it.
I mean, I'm just hoping like it doesn't open and he's like in a crater.
He's falling again. Whee!
Might have bit off more than I could chew. I got this.
Oh, well, everybody, I tried my hardest. No, no, don't you dare.
He's going to be in Tank Man.
Tank Man, he just ate a lot of biscuits, showed up from the... He ate again. You can't defeat me, Kaido.
My strongest form.
This isn't even my final form. You should see me when I have ice cream. Oh, this is why they don't let me out of the house. But I think we're going to wrap it up there. Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to us. If you want to stay updated on One Piece, all kinds of pop culture news, please check out murphysmultiverse.com. With me, of course, if you want to talk with us, chat with us, you can find Suki on
twitch.tv/SukiIsOkay or on the Twitter at SukiOkay.
The Twitter.
The Twitter.
The Twitter. You find me on the Twitter.
Twitter.
The Twitter. I like it. The Twitter, the only enemy that can defeat Darkseid.
Okay, here's my thing. Here's why I call it the Twitter, okay?
Okay. Because
you make a tweet. You do not make a twit. You meet many twits, but you don't make a twit.
You meet a lot. I like that. That's, I respect it. Oh, okay. That's way too good. Oh my God, my sides. Where was I? Oh yeah. If you guys want to chat with me, you can find me on the Twitter, at ThatAbel, ThatAbrl. Thank you again for hanging out with us. And we cannot wait to check in on the next chapter of One Piece and what else is heading our way. Until then.
Later.
Oh, you hang out with a lot of twits. I love that.
I mean,
it's right. It's correct.
It's every not post, wrong. You meet them.